Hi, I'm Steph.
Hi, I'm T.
You're listening to Au Pair Tea, the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Au Pair Tea.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to episode 9 of Au Pair Tea, the podcast. Hello, Steph.
Hello, T.
Welcome back.
Another week.
And today is a very exciting episode. We're so pleased to have someone very special joining our podcast today. Who are you, mystery guest? Introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Haley, and I work for cultural care on our extensions team. So I'm so excited to be joining. I do want to preface that everything I say is, you know, because I'm passionate about the program, I'll talk about cultural care's process, but I'm not sponsored by cultural care to say this on the podcast tonight. So just want to separate them, but I'm excited to be here and talk to you more about extending.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions on extending. I think it's a massive decision for au pairs to make, whether they want to extend or not, and if they want to extend with a different family or the same family. So we thought it would be good to get you on here and have a chat about it, get it straight from the source, as it were. That's why we like getting people from cultural care on here, because it's like straight information, all the truth.
I hold the truth.
Yeah. So these questions that we've gathered, these are from our listeners, these are also from us, but a lot of them are repeat, you know, we gathered all the questions that we get on in our DMs and on our Instagram, and we thought these were the kind of the FAQs as they were, and then we've added a couple of little special ones in the end. So first off, tell us a little bit about yourself, Haley. Who is Haley? Who is she?
Awesome. Well, I work in Denver, so I work for cultural care. I've been working here for almost four years now. Wow. Time flies, but I first started actually as a host family matching specialist. So working with host families in Colorado, which was great to work with families that also live in the same place I do, but helping them find au pairs. But then about a year and a half ago, I transitioned to the extensions team, where I exclusively work with au pairs who are interested in extending. So it's been a great journey, but personal things about me. I got a puppy a few months ago, so hopefully she's sleeping right now. Hopefully she won't bark in the background. But yes, so that's
what's funny. She called?
Her name is Winnie.
Oh, I love that. That's so cute.
Aww. Yeah, she's a cutie.
I want a puppy so bad.
No.
They're a lot of work, but they're worth it.
Yeah. And aside from personal stuff, what is your role as an extension specialist? Like, what do you do for your job? What do you do for cultural care and for the au pairs?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I work as the au pair extension sales specialist. So really working with au pairs that are in their first year and might be considering extending. So I'm really walking them through the process, if they have any questions about extending, and really helping them decide if it is a good fit, what they want to do for another year or not. So kind of just helping them go through the process and through the decision making as well. And then I also make them aware of any deadlines and information that we'll be sure to cover on this podcast, but just about the requirements for extending as well. And I work with all au pairs that currently live in states on the western half of the country. And then my colleague Dan works with au pairs that are on the eastern half of the country.
Yeah, we spoke to Dan when we extended.
Oh, nice. Yep, that Dan. Makes sense. Yep, exactly.
That's awesome. So one of the main questions we get is, how long can an au pair stay in the US, and how does it work at the end of the first year, because your visa is only valid for a year? So can you talk to us a little bit just like how that actually works? We've written a note on our question because we get a lot of questions as well. There's a lot of confusion currently about the whole COVID extension, the third term. Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit?
Yes, definitely. And yeah, these are great questions because I know there was a third term, but there's no longer a third term. So you have the opportunity to extend for 6, 9, or 12 months. And that extension term will start directly after your first year. So after your last working day is when your extension term starts. There's no time off in between. The travel month will be added to the end of your extension term, regardless of how long you extend. So really, it's up to you on how long you want to extend. It's a great kind of benefit of being an au pair in your second year, or however long you choose to extend, but just to have more flexibility. I know that when you come over initially, you have to stay for 1 year. So to have the option to extend for whatever fits for your life and plans, I think is a great thing to have. But yes, yeah, so with the COVID extension or the third term that was offered, you know, a few times in the last year and a half, but the last time it was offered, the Department of State made it clear that was going to be the final offering for any potential third term. So really the only option to stay longer is through the normal extension, which we will be talking about today.
Yeah. And in your opinion, because it's always like a 50-50 decision for, I feel like, most au pairs, should I stay? Is it the right decision? In your experience, what is the reason that most people choose to extend or choose not to extend?
Yeah, I would say the reason that most choose to extend, and you guys can also speak to your experiences, but I think just 1 year flies by, and especially with COVID having affected your year a lot, you could only do so much and cross so many things off of your bucket list. There's so much to see in the country and do that being able to have the opportunity to do it for another year with either the same family or a new one is a great opportunity to take advantage of. So I think a lot of au pairs, either they might have had a great experience in their first year and want to continue that, or potentially not the best experience, but want to have a better one for their extension year. So a lot of different reasons. And if you guys want to speak to why you decided to extend, I would love to hear more about that too.
I mean,
I would stay forever if I could, honestly. If I could extend. Yeah. I would do that. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it's just like, you feel like you don't get to fit everything you want to do in the first year, and you're just having so much fun. And as we will talk about later, you can choose to stay with the same family. So if you have a great bond with them, that's amazing. You can continue that like T did. Mm-hmm. I extended with a new family, which is another option. And that gave me the opportunity to explore somewhere different and have a whole new experience, change of routine. And it was just like nice to have two different kind of experiences during the same experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I have a quick straw question from that. Do you find that more people stay with the same family or go with a new family? What's kind of the range in that?
Yeah. So on average, more do go or stay with the same family than go to a new family.
I did think that. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I think shows that it's a great, like, that's a good sign that
the
au pair and families are happy together and want to, you know, continue that experience. But obviously there's so many au pairs that also really would love a different experience in their extension year. So want to take advantage of going to a new family. But Steph, back to your question on why au pairs might choose not to extend. Most of the reasons I feel like relate to going back to school or having a job back at home that they need to get back to. So those are definitely the most common reasons. But some people are just ready to leave after 1 year or two, especially with COVID, you know, family members getting sick or things getting worse in their country. They just are ready to get home back to their family.
Oh. So when it comes to actually extending, it's always a little bit awkward. Like a lot of people want to know, I'm an au pair or I'm a host parent. How do I bring up the topic of extending with, you know, the au pair or the host parent? And cultural care do anything to kind of help us or prep us?
Yes. Yeah. That's a great question. So there is an email that both families and au pairs get just to let them know that extending is an opportunity for both of them. And they get that about 5 months into the au pair's term. From there, we start reaching out to au pairs by hosting initial webinars, which are kind of similar information sessions, kind of like what we're doing now, covering a lot of information about your option for extending, requirements, and then we always do a question Q&A at the end to kind of go over any topics or questions that the au pairs participating might have. So that's kind of where the conversation starts. So 6 months into the term is when we directly reach out, and then from there we continue the conversation and help guide au pairs through the process directly. So we really help support their conversation, whether they're thinking same or new host family. And then once they decide is when we kind of follow up with the host families accordingly. So it is a conversation that we feel au pairs need to have directly with their host parents, because that is their personal decision and we shouldn't be the ones kind of dictating which direction they go or what they choose. But we're definitely here to support them in, you know, kind of helping guide their decision or, you know, think of talking points when having that conversation with their host family as well.
Yeah. I like that we get an email, because then it's not like coming out of the blue, like the host parents kind of know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
That definitely helps when I kind of talk to mine about extending.
Yeah, although I think it does.
I got mine and I was like, it's been 5 months already.
I know.
I haven't even thought about this yet.
Right. Well, like, and it's so early. Like, you don't need to think about it too much yet, but I think it's kind of just good to put out there and then you can think, or at least start thinking about it. But then you still have time to actually decide what you'd like to do.
Yeah. So as we mentioned briefly before, you can extend with the same family, the one you're currently with, or you can choose to go with a new family. Mm-hmm. So Hayley, can you tell us a little bit about the process of each decision, how the application works, the matching pool for the second time around if you choose to go with a new family, how it differs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So the process is pretty similar for both the same or new host families. And I know T and I have talked about this before, but it's really simple, and I think more simple than most au pairs expect, just based on it's pretty extensive to apply to the program initially, but extending is a breeze compared to that. So really all that you need to do is log into your online account, and you'll see where it says extend your stay. And there are a few questions that you're asked. The first one is same host family or new host family, and then the term length. So 6, 9, or 12 months. That's usually, you know, the hardest part, because that's a big decision to make. You have to decide what you'd like to do and how long you want to extend for. So once you have your mind made up is usually when it's easiest to go ahead and complete your application. From there, you would have to upload education. So in order to complete your application, we just need to see that you're registered for the 6 credits or 72 hours that are required in your first year. All au pairs have different education deadlines based on when they arrived, but that deadline is 34 days before your last working day, in which we need to see proof of completion of your courses. And unfortunately, that deadline isn't flexible. It's based on the Department of State. That's when we mail your application to the Department of State for your extension. So you must have your courses complete by then, but to submit your application, just need to see that you're registered. And it does have to be through a post-secondary accredited institution. So if you ever have questions about your courses, if it's a course we can accept or not, always feel free to email extend@culturalcare.com, and we'd be happy to verify that for you. We hate when au pairs, you know, hear something about a course that they sign up for and we can't actually accept it. So it's always best to check with us first, and we're happy to confirm. And I will say too, right now, online courses are being accepted, and they have been since the beginning of COVID. That was an exception made by the Department of State. And for now, they're going to remain online until we hear something, which we would communicate to all au pairs that if you're registered and you're already taking an online course, we wouldn't not accept it. We would still accept it. But moving forward, it might go back to shifting to be in-person courses only. So just keep that on your radar. But the online courses offer a lot of flexibility right now. So after you provide proof that you're signed up for your classes, then you would go to the payment section. And there is a fee to extend, and it's $395. And that fee is what covers your Department of State application. So it goes pretty much directly to them. And that fee is due when you submit your application if you're staying with your same host family. But if you are staying with your same family, they do have the option to pay it for you. They can offer to do that. It is ultimately your responsibility and a conversation you would need to have with your family directly. If you're going to a new family, however, you can wait to pay that fee, and you can wait until you find a match or by your payment deadline, which is usually a week before your education deadline. So that will just give you, you know, more confidence, and I would say flexibility, in terms of finding a family, feeling confident when you pay that fee because you already found a match, versus upfront when you're not really sure what, you know, matching will be like. So there is more flexibility there if you're going to a new family. And then you'll complete your agreement. And then this is where things vary a little bit. But if you're staying with the same family, that's really much all you have to do. So just those 4 steps. And you'll always add your certificates or proof of completion for your courses once you receive them. So you'll add them later before your deadline. But if you're going to a new family, at that point, we would email your host family and LCC to complete perspectives. And that's just a form answering a few questions about your year together. So it's really important to talk to your host family first about your extension plans before you complete your application. It's always best to have them know what your decision is from you directly versus an email from us. So we definitely encourage that and confirm that before emailing them. And then for your matching profile, you would answer questions about your first year experience. And then you can actually preference the states that you'd like to live in. So that's a benefit of being an extension au pair. You have a little bit more say about where you live. We do encourage everyone to keep it as open as possible, just to really focus on the right fit versus the location. But we also understand, you know, if you're on one coast, maybe you want to go to the other just to have a completely different experience. But only families that live in the states you list can see your profile. So just keep that in mind as you're selecting states. And then once we have all of your matching profile updated and the references or perspectives from your family in LCC is when your profile is available online, you'd be entered into the matching pool. And it's actually very similar to your first year. So you can have 3 connections at once, and you'll accept or decline families that you are interested in connecting with. And then that match button is reserved for when you're ready to, you know, pick the one that you want to spend your extension term with. But we do recommend 2 to 3 interviews per family before, you know, settling on one and finding that match. And then I had one other thing I wanted to say about, I think, the states or the preferences. I'm sure it'll come to me. But yes, that's pretty much the process.
Is there a, I remember we talked about it in the webinar before. Is there like a certain, like, isn't there like, you can only pick like 10 or something, or like how many states you can choose?
So you can pick as many or as few as you'd like. So you can just go through and select them. So obviously as many would be like all of the states that we service and what we encourage just for keeping it open. But if you're really, you know, set on a few states, then you can select those too. But we do recommend at least having 3. But the more, the better. And then the last thing I was going to say, so this, the matching profile that you'll complete is added to your existing profile. You'll write a new letter and families will be able to see your first year letter and second year letter. And then it's just kind of an added section. So you're not having to redo any of your existing profile, but you do have the option to edit it.
Uh-huh. I did, when I extended, I did go on and add some new pictures because
yes, with your host kids pictures, yeah that's a great idea
more. And like with me and with my host family that I was with then as well,
right?
Yeah
I think that's helpful with future families to see. Yes, always ask permission of your host family to post any photos of their kids.
Yeah. You just answered like a whole bunch of questions.
I know, because there's so that's much. Like a lot. It's a simple process, but I wanted to include as much information as possible. But is there anything that you felt like I should kind of dive deeper into or that wasn't clear enough?
So just to kind of clarify, the fee is the same no matter how long you extend for?
Yes. Yep. That's a great question. The fee is the same regardless of your extension term.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, I can't remember if you covered that it needs to be, when's the deadline for the fee if you're extending with a new family? I just want to make sure I didn't miss that.
Yep, so it would be due when you match. So at the time that you find a match, or if you haven't found a match by your payment deadline, that's when it would be due. And that's around your education deadline. So when we'd be sending your application to the Department of State.
Okay, perfect.
They do keep you in the loop and emails by saying like, this is when your payment's due, blah, blah, blah.
So, yep, so when you're going into matching, you would receive an email when we have everything we need to make you agree to, you know, this is when your fee is due if you don't find a match by this date. So you'll be aware of that date if you're not sure of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you are going into matching with a new family, how is there a time limit on how long you have to match with a family?
Yes.
Or is it just you kind of like, until you find one, obviously
you
have to find it before your year's up, but
no, that's a great question though. So you have until your last working day to find a match, but once your application is sent to the Department of State, your fee would be non-refundable because again, that's, you know, what it's going towards. So if you don't find a match, you wouldn't get the fee back, but we would book your flight home still, and your travel month would just begin after your last working day. But it's very rare that au pairs don't find a family by that date. It just, the ones that usually don't are ones that are just set on one specific location and have a lot of other priorities too, which, you know, it can be hard to find, you know, a perfect family. So I think just keeping some of the preferences open, even though you do learn a lot from your first year and about what you're looking for in your second year, I think it's still good to have an open mind.
Yeah. I think we've said before, like, there is no such thing as a perfect family, just like the right one.
That's true.
Yes. That's what you should look for.
Yes, absolutely.
But if the worst came to the worst and let's say I decided to extend with a new family and then I couldn't find one, I wouldn't be able to change my mind, would I? And be like, actually, I'm going to stay with my host family because my application would have gone in, correct?
No, so you can actually end up deciding to match with your same family.
But you can match back.
Yes, you can match back, assuming that they haven't found another au pair or made other plans. So if you guys agree to want to match together, we can make that happen. It's just a matter of, I would say, having a lot of open communication with your host family and kind of letting them know where you're at in the process so that they can, you know, make plans accordingly.
Oh, that's interesting. I think people have got the impression that once your application is in to extend with a new family, that's it. You can't. But technically, if you match with your host, you know, it's technically not changing. But
no.
That's so clever.
You would just have to change your profile or your application back to the same family. So it wouldn't be like finding your current family in the matching pool or anything. But it's simple to change it back. It's just a matter of if that's something you're maybe considering, is looking for a new family and then ultimately matching with them if you're not finding one that you think is a good fit. Mm-hmm. Just being really transparent about that with your host family, and you would still have to ask them to complete perspectives for you so they would know that you're going into the matching pool.
Yeah, perfect.
So you briefly mentioned in the process talk about the credits and uploading your certificates, etc. But one question we get a lot is, does it differ the amount of credits you need to get if you extend for 6, 9, or 12 months? Because obviously with 12 months, your first year, you need to get 6 credits. So is it different depending on how long you extend for?
Yeah, this is another great question. So if you're extending for just 6 months, you would only need to complete 3 additional credits. And then you would have 1 week of vacation in your extension term. If you extend for 9 or 12, it will be just like your first year, where you'll complete an additional 6 credits and you'll get 2 weeks of vacation. That's just good to know. And then obviously in your first year, everyone, regardless of how long you're extending, you do need to complete 6 credits or 72 hours by your education deadline. That's like the most important thing about extending, I would say, or in order to be able to extend. That's just a huge requirement.
So they
do vary the requirements in your extension term.
If in someone's first year they got 9 credits and then extended for 6 months, could they use those 3 credits and roll over to their second year and then to be done?
Yes, and I was actually just, I had a thought like that and I forgot to say it, but yes, you read my mind, T. You can carry over any additional credits that you got from your first year to have them count towards your extension term.
Perfect.
And in regards to credits, I personally recommend like just getting them done as soon as possible, like not waiting on it, because it can be
stressful if you're trying to like get all of your credits or hours, you know, last minute. So I totally agree, Steph. That's what we recommend.
Yeah. Especially with COVID,
they're not always in the front of your mind. So it'll be like 2 months left. You're like, oh no, I haven't done my credits. So like always like just get them done as soon as possible. Yes. They're actually quite fun. Like the courses that I've
had. Yeah, there's some great ones.
Yeah, they have.
What ones did you take or what would you recommend?
So my first, I do mine on classroomaupair.org. Okay. Which is really
good. That's a great one.
There's a lot of online ones on there right now, and there is also some in-person ones starting up again. But I did a podcast and YouTube media one.
Perfect. That's very fitting.
Ones. Yeah. And then this year I did an American law and creative writing. So
nice.
Yeah. But there's loads of cooking. There's like a skincare one. There's like marketing ones.
We did the same class. Steph's doing the law class that I did last year with the same teacher, with Mona. She's the love of my life. She's wonderful. I really love Mona.
So much fun. But yeah, there's so much variety, and it's not a burden at all. And most of the time, so like the courses I've done, I didn't have to pay anything because your host parents pay $500 towards your credits, and my courses added up to $500. So
and most of them do. So you don't have to pay anything. And there are so many fun options. One thing I should mention, so in your extension term, if you're extending for 6 months, since you just need 3 credits, your host family would just be responsible for up to $250 towards that class. But then for 9 and 12 months, it's again just like your first year, and your host family would contribute up to $500.
Oh, just a little. We needed that info.
That was a good point, actually.
to another, Hayley. Driving. What is the deal with driving in your extension term? Do we have to take our test again if we move? What happens to our international license? Tell us everything.
Yes. So I'm actually not quite the expert on all the driving questions, just because the laws do vary so much state to state. But a general rule of thumb is that your international driver's license will expire after your first year. So it's important to get a state license in your first year, regardless of if you're planning to extend with your same family or a new one. But if you want to be able to drive in your extension term, get it as soon as possible. And then, you know, you can obviously follow, check with your like LCC and host family to understand what the state guidelines are. But usually if you end up going to a new host family, it's pretty easy to transfer your license from state to state. So definitely better safe than sorry to have to go through the process twice than to, you know, miss the deadline on being able to drive in your extension term based on your international driver's license. Mm-hmm. And Tia, I know we've talked about this too, but you felt like the driver's license process was much easier than you expected and easier than it was at home.
Yeah, the actual test is a lot easier. Actually getting to the exam was hard because of COVID, but yes. I will say, like, because obviously I'm in the same state for 2 years, then all you have to remember to do is renew your license, but there's a date that tells you to renew mm-hmm. it by. So a lot of au pairs don't, someone actually didn't renew theirs and now she's in a bit of trouble, so she can't drive right now. So remember to renew your license, guys, if you stay in the same state. There's that. But Steph, move on to the next question.
Oh, okay, yeah. So this I think is some questions that again stemmed from COVID, because families were in like desperate situations. They needed au pairs are extending for third years, but they would say, you know, we'll give you more money, blah blah blah. Is it true that au pairs get paid more in their extension year than their first year? Is it stay the same?
It stays the same. It's still the minimum requirement of $195.75. Yeah. So and that minimum is sent by the Department of State.
Yeah. And if host families offer you more, I personally recommend not taking it because it messes up your taxes. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously not part of the program rules. There's a certain stipend that you get and that's what you get the minimum of. So, you know, you shouldn't really be taking more money.
Yeah, that shouldn't be the reason. If that's the reason, then it's the wrong family for you and you need to rethink what you're doing.
Absolutely.
If they offer you more money, great, but think about it very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of people get rounded up to 200, which is pretty much normal. Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's more just easy for families to pay that.
Yes. Change and stuff. So this question actually came directly to our direct messages. This is one of them, and there was somebody who was very worried about entering the US and re-entering. So she said, what happens if there's a family emergency and you need to go back to your home country? And I'm presuming this is within your second year.
Yep, that's what.
So are you allowed to return home for, I don't know, a funeral of a parent and then re-enter mm-hmm. the US? What are the guidelines on that?
Yes, and I know, I think this was something that in terms of your visa mentioned in the beginning, but I'm glad we're circling back because it's really important. But you'll notice that your visa does expire in your first year, at the end of your first year. Therefore, there are travel restrictions for your second year or term. And essentially what happens is once we send your application to the Department of State, you'll receive a new DS form with your updated extension term dates. And another thing I should mention, in terms of your term length, once we send your application to the Department of State, that cannot be changed. So you should really be certain of the length you decide on. We have a lot of au pairs that choose 6 or 9 months, but are wishing that you could extend for a longer term or a third term, which obviously isn't offering right now. So take advantage of the experience and extend for 1 year is what I recommend. But just know that whatever term length you choose doesn't really have much flexibility in terms of changing once your application is sent to the Department of State. If it's early enough, you might have flexibility to change it depending. Mm-hmm. So going back to your visa. So your visa will be expired, but that new DS form with your extension term dates is what will prove that you're here legally in the United States. And it actually allows you to go to Mexico, Canada, and the adjacent islands, which are like a group of 20 or so islands in the Caribbean. You can Google them. There are a lot of them. But essentially, you can go to these countries in your extension term without needing to renew your visa. If you travel anywhere else or return home and you're not from Mexico, then you would have to renew your visa at your local embassy, similar to how you went through the process the first time. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, you do need to show your new DS form. So if you're trying to renew your visa before your first year, it's important that you have that already. you can renew your visa once it's expired. I know some au pairs get confused about the timeline for that. We just recommend that you do it with at least 6 months left on your term, in your extension term when you renew the visa, and that you travel home for about 2 weeks to ensure that you have enough time to go to your appointment and ensure you can get your visa back in hand before returning to the U.S. And then if you're planning to travel within the last 8 weeks or so of your first year, we would also recommend renewing your visa, just given that it's so close. You know, there have been situations where au pairs get denied boarding or can't re-enter the country just because if they don't have their extension DS form or haven't renewed their visa, it just looks a little suspicious that they're trying to get back to the U.S. with just so few weeks left on their term. I know. So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that at all costs. So that's why we just don't recommend it. So about 6 to 8 weeks. But unfortunately, it's not necessarily a situational on when you can or can't renew your visa. So if there is a family emergency and that's why you're returning home, if you're not from Mexico, you would have to renew your visa while you're there in order to return to the U.S. Mm-hmm. There aren't like special exceptions that the Border Patrol will make.
Yeah, there is actually a sub question on there that I forgot to write down. So if you can you leave early? Like, I think we've kind of heard things floating about, like, you can leave 1 month before your actual end date. You don't have to do your travel month. Can we clear that up, please, so we know what the rule is?
Yes. So Cultural Care will book your flight home if you leave within 30 days of your last working day. But we do highly recommend, like, that's a conversation you have with your host family. You don't want to just leave a month early when they're expecting to have you and they've paid to have you through your last working day. So I would say that's only really for special exceptions that you and your host family agree on. But it does offer a little bit of flexibility. And then you have a travel month at the end, so you must leave the country within 30 days. And when you complete your flight request form, you would just indicate the day or dates that you'd like to return home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And yes. Also in relation to the DS form, so in your first year or your second year, if you were to travel, do you have to get your DS form signed by Cultural Care to say you're traveling or get a new one?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in your first year, your DS form will not be signed. Right now, we are just sending au pairs new signed DS forms because mail is so crazy that the time it takes for you to mail it to the Boston office and then receive it, you know, who knows what would happen to it or how long it could take. So you can always call our 800 number, which is 800-333-6056, and request a signed DS form. But in your extension term, it will actually come already validated for travel, so you don't need to worry about sending it.
Perfect. I don't have to worry then about our cruise.
Yes, yes. You're all set.
We're good. So kind of a lot of au pairs, kind of, obviously it's a personal decision whether you extend or not. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of emotions that go into it. But from like a, you know, a professional standpoint, what, and, you know, someone who will give advice, what should au pairs consider when they're deciding whether or not they want to extend? Like, what do you think au pairs sometimes don't think about when they're making this decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you are so right. It is such a personal decision that it really comes down to what you are looking to get out of this year, what you might do at home if you don't extend. And I always find it helpful to write like a pro-con list to really kind of weigh your options and what it would look like to stay here, stay with a new same family, go to a new one, or return home, to really, you know, figure out what feels right and what your top priorities are in your next year, to really think, how can you take advantage of, you know, how will you be able to get there? What will get you there if you extend or not? So I think that's always the best way to approach it. And I know usually this is a conversation that I have with au pairs when they're debating same host family or a new one, you know, just thinking about what they want. Because a lot of the time they're like, I love my family, but I would really love to go explore a new part of the country, in a different city. I wish I could take my family with me. Aww. So weighing, I know, which is so sweet. And I wish so that could happen too. But it's so hard to, you know, I think a lot of au pairs think the grass might be greener by going to a new family, and then they find out it's not. So I think really just thinking and cherishing the relationship you have with your current family, and understanding that, you know, going to a new family could be a completely different experience. Yes, you might be in a different location, but if they're not a family that you feel as comfortable with or have the same kind of working relationship with, it might be a less enjoyable place to live because you can't, you know, feel as comfortable there either. So right. I think that's just, you know, totally a personal to your own situation. But I think it's good to have conversations like that with your current family and just see what they're thinking, because sometimes that also makes a decision for you. If they maybe aren't continuing with the program and they just hadn't told you yet, then your decision is made too. So I think that's always good to start that conversation as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a question I literally just thought of that we get a lot of people in our DMs so nervous about approaching their host parents and saying, you know, either I'm not going to extend or I want to extend with a new family. They're so scared about it because they're worried that the host family are going to be, you know,
disappointed
mm-hmm. that they're leaving them if they want to go somewhere else. How can au pairs approach that conversation? What kind of things yes. can they say? How can they open that conversation with their host family? Because it's nerve-wracking. I've been there.
For sure. And yeah, I would... your advice is too, but this is a conversation I feel like I have a lot, and I actually recently created like a guide to send to au pairs that kind of has different talking points. But I think the first thing to focus on is like, why do you want to go to a new family, or why do you want to go home, and like really think about those reasons and then approach the conversation from a place of gratitude for your time together and how you've really enjoyed your first year, but for you to take full advantage of the experience and the 2 years or however long you've said that you have to be an au pair, like this is what you need to do to be able to achieve your goals. And for a lot of au pairs, that is just living in a different city and kind of experiencing, you know, a different culture within the country, or working with different ages of kids to get different types of experience before they return back home, because maybe that will help them in their job. Or just wanting to grow their global family. I don't think, like, there's obviously not a right or wrong reason that you choose to extend, but I think always coming from a place of, this is what I need to do for me to make the most of my experience, but I really have, like, I'm grateful for you. I've enjoyed my experience with you. And I think the sooner you tell them, that's always better, because then your host family can start making plans for when you leave as well. So I'm sure they always appreciate as much time as possible to prepare for that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as bad as anyone thinks it's going
to
be.
No, yes. Families always seem to be so supportive. Au pairs are so nervous and they're like, it went really well. My family was super understanding and supportive. And I always love to hear that, because, you know, it's about what you have 2 years here. You need to do what you can.
We always say sometimes you have to be kind of selfish in a way, because like this is your experience. And as much as like you're here to kind of help the families and you're part of that family, you also need to do what makes you happy and what's going to help you be happy in the long run. And you know, I loved my old host family so much. We had our problems. We had a rocky road. My host family went through a lot when I was with them, but you know, they understood completely when I went to them and I said, you know, I'm really looking for a change of routine, a change of scenery, somewhere new. Like they knew, like the host family knows that you've come over here to experience a new culture, new places, visit as much of the US as you can. So like,
they know it's temporary too, which is great.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
It's only a 1 year commitment, and that's like, you don't have to feel obligated for more than that either.
And if they're a family that, you know, loves you and you're really part of their family, they're going to be happy for you, whatever you do, as long as you're happy. I've never heard of a negative outcome from an au pair going to the family and saying, I want to extend with a new family or
and it doesn't mean you have to lose touch with them. I mean, you could take trips and visit your former host family and maintain a relationship with them, whether you're still in the country with another family or back at home. I don't think it needs to, you know, lessen your relationship in any way either.
So kind of coming to the kind of, you know, the crunch of this little interview, as it's we always ask whoever comes on to give a piece of advice, and we're going to break your advice into two because we want to obviously honor both sides of this relationship. So if you could give one piece of advice to host parents and one to au pairs about the extension process, what would you say to them?
Yes, I love this question. And I think, so for host families, I think we kind of just hit on this, but just be as supportive as you can when your au pair does decide, regardless of their decision, even though you might be bummed or disappointed that they're not extending with you. Just know that it's not personal, but really what they need to make the most of their experience. And I would say try to be as approachable as possible, or you can even start the conversation early. I know some au pairs can be intimidated to bring it up, or they feel like they're waiting for their host family to bring it up. So it doesn't matter who brings it up. I think it's just best to have that conversation as soon as one party has an idea of what they're thinking for that next year, so you guys can set expectations and make plans accordingly. And then my advice to au pairs is obviously to extend. I'm just kidding. I would say really just make the decision that you feel is best for you. And obviously it's super personal, but that's why I recommend, you know, writing that list of your pros and cons and what's most important to you and how you can achieve that in your extension year. Or maybe it's not extending and maybe it's just staying for 1 year and going home to do those things. So yeah. I think just taking the time and being thoughtful about your decision, and then starting the process early as soon as you do decide, so that we can best support you and guide you and make sure that we have everything we need from you in order to be able to extend if that's what you decide.
Yeah.
Oh. One thing I have just thought of, when you're in the matching process for extension family, do you get a matching specialist as you do for the first time around?
That's a good question. So kind of. So Deanna and I support au pairs. We'll reach out to au pairs that are in the matching pool to see how things are going. We're here to support if you ever reach out with questions. So you do have that support, but I would say it's not as extensive as that's not my dedicated role, I should say, is to helping au pairs just in matching, but we would love to help you as much as possible. And I feel like the ways that I most help au pairs in matching is by reaching out to my colleagues that maybe work with families in the states that the au pairs are hoping to go to, so I'm always happy to do that for my au pairs and help them find a great family in the place that they want to be.
Oh, I kind of wish I was going through it again.
I'm sorry, there's no third term.
I know. So sad, but we've had a great time and we personally recommend extending because you can never do as much as you want to do in your first year, let's be honest. Like, there's so much to do, so many things to experience without COVID.
And you really only have the au pair opportunity once, unless you are like 18 and come back again after being home for 2 years. Like, you got to make the most of it, I think.
Live while you're young.
We're too old now.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Haley. I think this
is going to be so thank you for
helpful.
Having me. Yes, and always reach out. You can also email us at extend@culturalcare.com if you have any questions. But I'm so excited that I was able to tell you all more about extending and hopefully help guide your decision in any way that you
and as Haley said, near the beginning of the episode, there is like webinars that go on about extending, and I actually got an email today about one that is happening in January. So if you are thinking of extending, there is one.
And you guys are going to be there.
We're going to be there.
Yes, we have you two as guests, which I'm so excited to have you join us.
Yeah, so we'll be there to answer your extending questions if you are thinking about it.
Yes, and you guys can offer great perspective just having gone to a new family and having the two different sides. So I think that's always helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Haley.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Haley, can you do us a favor? Can you choose any emoji?
Oh, yeah.
And it'll make sense in a minute. Just tell us any emoji that you like.
Like, tell you the emoji or show it to you?
Tell us it.
Oh, my gosh. This is a lot of pressure.
Your favorite one.
Oh, man. Like, I feel like the one I use the most is the thumbs up, but that's so lame.
Okay.
But, no, we love it.
If you've listened to the end of this episode and you're listening to our voice right now, send us a thumbs up emoji so we know that you are here.
There we go.
I really hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode and that's been helpful. There's been a lot of information. And if you have any further questions, just slide into our DMs. We're always there.
we'll put the extension email in the caption of this episode on our Instagram.
Perfect.
But yeah, we hope you guys are going to have a wonderful Christmas. Christmas is coming.
Yes.
Woo! I'm very excited. So we will be back hopefully next week to tell you what we did during the Christmas and festive period. I'm very excited.
Wow. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yay. Bye.
And that's the tea.
Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram at @opairtea for more.
Thanks for listening.